Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Bing ba-dong, bing bong, bing bing bong, bing bong.
Wow, that's new.
Yeah, I thought I'd change it up. It's Easter. I've had lots of chocolate.
Well, we had a week off and you've spent that entire time just getting ready for this very moment.
I have. I'm pumped. I'm excited. I'm happy to be here.
James, I've got a big new theme to unveil.
I have. It's very exciting. Hello. Welcome to Suggestible Podcast. My name is Claire Totti. James is here also.
Hello.
It's James Clement.
That's right.
Otherwise known as Mr. Sunday Poovies.
What?
Got him. She's back, baby.
I have heard that before, probably more than once.
Oh, I thought I was being funny.
No, it's still funny. I mean, it's that, and I get a lot of people on our review that we did of Ghostbusters 2016 being like, I can't believe that you said Ghostbusters 2 wasn't as good as Ghostbusters 2016. Oh, my God, you don't even know anything about Ghostbusters.
Oh, mate.
That's maybe true, but I'm right. Anyway, Claire.
You know what are we more doing? Than me. Which wouldn't be hard. Ghostbusters. That's the theme song, isn't it?
That's right.
Ghostbusters. I'm a ghost and I like to bust or busk on the street. Woo. Ghostbusters. Anyway, I'm sorry we weren't around last week. I had a weird fever.
It you did.
Not fun.
You're a bit crook. COVID, which is that's the. Feel the need to say that
you
every
do,
time.
You do, don't you? It wasn't COVID. It was just another weird bug.
It's a thing that happened.
And
yeah.
It was not fun, especially for me, but mostly for you.
Yeah, even more so for me.
Correct.
That's right.
I lay exactly. around like a lady of leisure.
But look, we're not here to complain about how Claire is failing as a wife and mother. We're here to discuss things.
We're certainly not. We're here to tell her how wonderful she is and right. how amazing.
We're here to discuss things that we've watched, read, or listened to. Claire, do you have a book or movie or anything that you want to talk about
I
this
certainly
week?
Certainly do. I'm so excited. Okay. This time, this episode is a tale of two Marthas, James.
Oh, my God.
I know. I've got two different Marthas to recommend.
Why did you say that name?
What's wrong with the name?
Why did you say that name? It's from Batman v Superman.
Oh.
Because it turns out that Superman's mother's name is Martha.
No.
And Batman's mother's name, guess what?
Martha.
Also Martha.
What?
And that's a big turning point. The crux of that movie
is
when Batman's going to stab Superman with a big kryptonite spear. And Superman goes, save Martha. And he goes, why did you say that name? It's really funny. It's like it's supposed to be like dramatic
and
they find like there's a connection where Batman realizes like, oh my God, just like me, he's got a mother. But it's really just like, this is a strange scene.
That's so weird. Yeah. Why would the writers make their mothers both called Martha?
Well,
why does that mean that they would like each other more? Clearly they both had mothers.
Because
everyone has a mother.
Because Batman wasn't recognizing the humanity in Superman. He was like, he's an alien, and if there's a 1% chance that he could destroy the planet, I got to stab this guy with a kryptonite spear.
Hang on. Pause. Is Martha the alien mother or the regular Earth mother?
Why would his alien mother be called Martha?
I don't know. What's her name? Minkleton.
Oh, my God. That's a great question.
His
father's name's Kal-El and her name is...
Well, isn't this just always the way?
Yeah.
The women don't even get a bloody name.
Kal-El
and he's always showing up in a cave. Is she getting to show up in the cave? No. Inequality.
Okay. She did get to show up in the Superman sequels because Marlon Brando got written out of them. So they just went, who else do we have? Okay.
Well, the woman that doesn't have a name, apparently.
Exactly.
Thought you knew everything about Superman and Superman X.
Lara. I did know that. Her name's Lara.
Lara.
That's like a regular name. He gets a school space
name. So she
name.
Could be called Martha?
Yeah, but Martha's not a space name, is it?
Oh, I guess Lara's a Lara, like Lara Croft.
What did you say that name?
Well,
you should watch Batman v Superman one
I know day. I have to. Now that I've like opened up this can of worms of Marthas.
It goes for 4 hours. But
I don't know if I'm Arthur or Martha now.
Mm. Arthur Curry. Aquaman's real name. Anyway, did you know that?
No, I did not. Would you laugh if I did? That would
have
been really
be very
weird
surprised.
Because I don't really remember anything.
It is strange though when you look at like Jason Momoa is Aquaman and you're like his name in the movie is Arthur. Like it doesn't fit.
God, it's almost like these movies are dumb.
What? What did you say?
That's it. Come at me.
What did you say that?
I'm sick of them. I said it to you in the kitchen and you were like, don't say that to anyone on the internet because it's our job. You asked me if I'd seen the Thor movie.
I said,
I can't even remember.
You said that because we had the Thor trailers this week.
And I liked Thor Ragnarok. And even then, I just can't be doing it anymore. I feel like there are more pressing things. I need to listen to more depressing things.
I understand. You got to listen to pressing things about the climate or whatever.
Correct,
you do.
Correct, exactly. Yeah. Listen to the daily
anyways,
podcast.
What's that thing?
All right, so the two Marthas. So the Tale of Two Marthas. The first Martha is a Martha called Martha Marlowe, which I also like the alliteration of her name. It's great.
Good.
I went to see her in concert. I did tell you about her briefly.
You did? Yeah.
I found her through an Instagram ad. There you go.
Really?
Oh my God,
it
sometimes
worked.
Sometimes it really does serve you excellent things that you really would be into.
It's true.
And she is just magical as an artist. She's a little like Joni Mitchell.
Yeah.
And she's just fascinating. So her debut album is called Medicine Man. It's on Spotify, so you can also purchase it directly through her website.
Yeah, do that.
It's got widespread critical acclaim. It's been nominated for an ARIA Award, an Australian Music Prize Award, an Australian Women in Music Award as well.
Good.
It's got all original compositions. She's also a visual artist as well. So her music and her art are really interlinked. She paints landscapes.
What kind of landscapes?
Now, moody ones.
Moody, spooky ones.
Things. Yes. Anyway, so she recorded this particular album with a 17-piece string ensemble led by Veronique Sedet and conducted by Daniel Denholm, all of whom are really incredible producers of the likes of Tim Minchin, Megan Washington and Fronte. She comes from a long line of musicians as well. Her dad is a very famous.
Did you say Fronte or Fronte?
Is it Fronte?
Fronte, isn't it?
Fronte. Yeah, I thought I said Fronte.
Terrific. Why did you say that name?
Why did you say that name?
Sorry, go on.
I said it because I like the name Martha.
It's true.
Not Maud, though. That's for another day. Anyway, what I loved about it is that her voice is so ethereal and she as a person is very ethereal. She's got a really interesting backstory. She lives with a rare autoimmune condition and she also has bilateral telepathy.
What's that?
Which it means that she has difficulty walking and she was born with a club foot.
Okay, right.
So she lives with a lot of chronic pain, which actually means that her art is kind of her way of almost existing in the world. She lives in her head a lot. She spends a lot of time in her studio in her family home where she just kind of absorbs herself in jazz and paints and writes. And she's done a lot of songwriting workshops because her songwriting is really complex. The lyrics are incredibly beautiful and are inspired by one of my favorite poets, Mary Oliver, among others like Walt Whitman. And in concert, she was just mesmerizing. She can't play the guitar at the moment because of her illness.
Right.
And so she just sat and sang with this beautiful ensemble of piano, drums, and it was just, I can't even explain how beautiful. I was so blown away by it and moved, but also lyrically. There's some really interesting things. She's got a new album coming out that's kind of a story of one guy, which is kind of really interesting as well. She kind of creates these like landscapes and moods and the whole album is based around that, whereas Medicine Man is based around her kind of searching for meaning in her life. So it's very personal as well. There's a beautiful song called I Am. So that's one of my favorites, I think, which is really just about her idea of spirituality and being the river and the sea and the sky. And I know you're going to hate this.
No, not at all. That sounds really cool.
It's really, really moving.
Sounds like an amazing person.
Yeah, she's just a really, really interesting kind of unique person. And she comes out and explains her music in this, you know, when you meet someone whose every word they say has been really thought about, unlike me where everything just comes out all at once. It's so crafted in the way that she expresses herself as well. So, yeah, she's just wonderful. And I've really enjoyed finding her music and I've listened to Medicine Man over and over again. So if you're someone who's into Joni Mitchell and that kind of folk style of singing, then – and Marvin Gaye, she is inspired by this as well. And jazz, there's obviously hints to jazz in the music too. So it's really layered. Anyway, I loved it.
Terrific.
That's my first Martha.
You got a second Martha.
I got a second one, but I'll save it because it's your
ready
turn.
To go. Wow.
That's how we go in this show.
Well, I've got something here. I've got a physical book in my hands, Claire. And you might be like, how did you get hold of that? Well, the reason is, first of all, I'll tell you about it. It's called Gustav and Henry, right? And it's volume one of a series of children's books. And they're about Gustav the pig and Henry.
Oh, they're so cute.
And Henry Normal, who's Gustav's best friend. and they go on all sorts of adventures. This first volume has three stories in it. It's one is Gustav Space Pig, Gustav, where he does an adventure, where they have an adventure in space because they hit a shuttlecock all the way to the moon, then they have to go get it and retrieve it from a crab. And then there's Gustav Time Pig, where they have to go on a time traveling adventure to return a library book. And then Detective Gustav and the Great Pig Day Mystery, where they have to find the mystery of who ate the cake on Pig Day, and Pig Day being the opposite of Christmas. Now, this is actually written by Andy Matthews.
Oh, we love Andy Matthews.
Who people might know from, Twin the Think Tank podcast, and they do a sketch show, Andy and Al, and do a sketch show every single year, and it's always incredible. They also write with Sean McAuliffe on Mad as Hell as well on television, and he just messaged me out of the blue. He said, can I send you a copy of this? And I'm like, fuck yeah, I love books. Send me a book. Send me a free book, Andy, I said. So anyway, it's amazing. It's really, really funny and really clever. And it's also like there are jokes that I read it with our son over a few nights because it's broken into like distinct stories. Like we did like one every like second night because he's like, oh, no, I want to like space this out. So like, you know, we don't just burn through them all at once. And they're decently length stories. So it's kind of – they're kind of written, as you can see – with this kind of their part like junior novel, part comic book, part picture storybook.
Which is perfect for our son who's sort of at that age.
And there's just like there's wonderful just like little jokes and image. Oh, it's by the way, it's also drawn by our Peter Thomas as well.
So Andy Matthews wrote it. Peter Thomas.
Well, as he puts in the back in his little description, Andy Matthews who drew the words. And Peter Thomas, who wrote the pictures.
Cute.
It's just incredibly funny as well. And look, I say like it does work on two levels because like there's jokes in it that like only an adult would get and jokes that, you know, a kid would find. But I also find there's a lot of stuff that's kind of, it's like right, like it's just funny stuff that everybody can appreciate. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not just like strictly for like this joke's for an adult and this joke is for a kid. There's a lot of stuff that works like for everybody. One of my favorite jokes in it, I can't even remember what it's in reference to, but it's something like, it's colder, it was colder than a refrigerator inside a refrigerator. Like just there's little things like that. And it's just great. And they have a fun little like friendships. They have a fun little friendship, the two of them. And Gustav is kind of like, he's doing all like the crazy ideas and the big thinking. And Henry Normal, she's more of the kind of like the level-headed one, but also like builds the one who has to build the spaceship when they have to go to the moon and whatever. It's just terrific. Look, if you like, I don't know, like your kids like Captain Underpants or like Bluey, for example, or
yeah, even the Treehouse books.
Yeah, the Treehouse books. You know, kind of around the like you know, anywhere between like I don't know 6 and 12,
Ando,
probably.
Ando.
I'm trying to think of some more like international examples of that, like. Ninja Dog. What's that Ninja Dog one called? Karate Dog? Dog Man.
Oh, Dog Man.
If you like Dog Man, the same guy who wrote Captain Underpants. It's kind of like that kind of vein. But it's great. And so volume one is out now. I think that this came out like last month. There is a second volume on the way. But I cannot recommend this enough. I'm going to be to get the second one. Because
and our son talked about it independently. He loved it. He was telling me all about it.
Well, I said tonight because we read the last one tonight, and I said to him, I'm going to talk about this on the podcast tonight. Could you mind if I borrow this? And he goes, yes, but make sure you bring it back. So, that was good.
That's so great. And I love the illustrations too.
It's
they're
really
so
cool.
Weird.
Yeah, they're
in
really
the
weird.
Best possible way. Like weird and surprising.
It's just
and
really
fun.
Like, I feel like a lot of the times, like celebrities, and not that Andy's like a massive celebrity, you know, kind of guy or whatever. But I feel like they feel like half-assed, these books, or like they've got a ghostwriter. But there's a lot of this, like, if you've listened to any of his stuff or seen any of it, there's a lot of, like, him in it, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
completely.
Got a really distinct voice. It doesn't feel generic. It feels like
very much from Andy's world.
Yeah, and it's just, and that's kind of, I like how, like, strange and specific it is as well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's, as I said, it's, like, it's super accessible, so... Yeah, and he's been reading it a bit by himself as well because it's also got like word finds and stuff in it, and there's there's a couple of recipes and things like that in there as well, which they kind of tweak them. I won't spoil it, but yeah,
super fun.
You should read it with him as well.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to do that. That's so fun. Oh, thank you. That's an excellent recommendation. I love it.
And it was free.
Oh
so
my goodness!
So I presume that's for any. So if you just message Andy Matthews, he'll just send you a book. It turns out. So,
yeah, excellent, good. He doesn't want to sell them for dollars.
No, he just wants to.
Just to send out a whole lot of free copies.
Yeah.
Where can you purchase them?
You can purchase it online. It's in let me just check. Gustav and Henry. It's published by, I think it's, is it Hardy Grant? Yeah, it's published by Hardy Grant, but you can buy it online. It's at the Kindle store, but I recommend getting like a physical.
Yeah, because the color illustrations are gorgeous too.
But really, you can buy it online. It's like, it's everywhere. It's on readings and bookteak.com. I don't think it's on Amazon. Yeah.
You know what I love about these types of books, right, that are that hybrid of illustrations, sort of graphic novel with the kind of writing, but that's a little bit more complex. It's such a great bridge for kids who are at that age where they're not ready for books without pictures or chapter books. And they're fun, but they also do push them because the language is actually really great.
Yeah.
It's not too simplistic that it's not going to kind of make them jump that little bit forward. And because of the pictures and how funny they are, even if they can't get every word, they can still be there and access them on their own.
You can still get it. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Exactly, which is really fun.
So it's also on Booktopia. It's at Target. It's at Big W. It's everywhere. So
fantastic.
It turns out
all right, Gustav and Henry.
Gustav and Henry.
I love it.
Henry with an I.
Almost as good as if it was called Martha and Martha.
Oh,
the Tale of Two Marthas.
I forgot we were doing another Martha thing. Oh, that's terrible.
Don't say that name.
Yeah.
What is it?
Why did you say that name?
Why did you say that name?
Yeah.
All right. Excellent.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So on to me again.
On to you again.
I'm so excited. Okay, so this is the week of alliteration for me. Because,
why do you say that, Claire?
Okay, because this potentially might be one of the best books I've ever read.
Oh, what's it called?
Today. A friend of mine, Jess, recommended it to me. It's called Sorrow and Bliss, and it's by Meg Mason. More alliteration. Martha Marlowe, Meg Mason.
Wait,
Martha,
I thought you said there was going to be Martha.
There
in
is.
It.
Hold on to your hat.
Okay.
The main character's name is Martha.
You got to see the image of it. He's wearing a big Batman helmet. He's got a big spear.
I'm putting it out there. It's dumb.
Yeah, no, it is. Everybody knows that. Dumb. Oh, no, some people take that very seriously.
I know. I'm sorry if I've offended you.
It is very funny.
What I love is that it's so serious.
Yeah,
it's
I know. So that's one of the things I love about like the Zack Snyder Superman or Batman movies. They're very serious.
and there's a guy in a bat suit.
Yeah. It's like Ben Affleck and he's 46 years old. He's screaming. It's really good.
Oh, who, by the way, is now engaged to J-Lo. Congratulations.
Are they
to
engaged?
Them. Yep.
Get the fuck out of here. I did not
them.
See that.
Yep, 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 yep.
Wow.
Late in life romance. Kind of mirroring that movie that I watched where she was starring recently. Is it, what's that movie? Marry Me?
Did I talk about that?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
With Owen Wilson. I loved it.
It's really
good.
Great.
I watched that while I was delirious and sick. It was a perfect thing to watch. Okay, anyway, back to the book. My book. Can I get back to the book?
Please. Yeah.
All right. So my friend Jess recommended it and I literally could not put it down. It was one of the best books I've ever read. So I'll just read the blurb because it doesn't sound like much happens in it. This novel is about a woman called Martha.
Yeah,
why did you say that?
I got that, Claire.
Anyway, she knows there is something wrong with her, but she doesn't know what it is. Her husband, Patrick, thinks she's fine, and he says everyone has something. The thing is just to keep going. Martha told Patrick before they got married that she didn't want to have children. He said he didn't mind either way because he has loved her since he was 14, and making her happy is all that matters, although he does not seem to be able to do it. By the time Martha finds out what is wrong, it doesn't really matter anymore. Is it too late to get the only thing she has ever wanted? Or maybe it will turn out that you can stop loving someone and start again from nothing if you can find something else to want. The book is set in London and Oxford. It's sad and funny.
Oh, my God. It's just like Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
And Henry Cavill in that movie
totally
where they became
is.
Friends.
Anyway, so really that's the plot. So there's not a lot of plot. her family, it's basically about her family who's very dysfunctional as well. And her mother is an alcoholic and her father is a wannabe poet. And their house when growing up was very chaotic. And she grew up with very close to her sister. And so a lot of the book is this kind of relationship she has with her sister that's hilarious and funny. And her sister's probably my favorite character. She's super sarcastic and that's really interesting. And it's clear Martha has a lot of mental health challenges and is a writer, but is also incredibly funny and bright while also being incredibly depressed.
Okay, yeah.
So the whole thing is like brutal, hilarious, compassionate, and darkly funny. It's sort of blistering actually in its writing. It is a lot like Fleabag in a book. It's got that kind of feel to it. It's also just unputdownable, compelling, devastating, all of the things. It's so character driven. So every character in it is someone who is unhinged in different ways, but incredibly funny either on purpose or by accident.
What was it called again?
Sorrow and Bliss.
Sorrow and Bliss.
Yeah, and it's just wonderful. And I cannot recommend the writing highly enough. And it just reminded me, you know how sometimes you read a book and it reminds you why you read books?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a bit like when you watch a really amazing film and you go, oh, that's why I watch films.
Oh, that's right. I just watched 40 very average movies.
Yeah, exactly. And then you read a book like that and just the craftsmanship and even just the chemistry between all of the characters, like the chemistry between Martha and her husband Patrick, who is sort of very stable and steady and sensible, and she's kind of wildly erratic and often incredibly depressed and suicidal and also incredibly articulate and observant about life. And, yeah, it's just this swing back and forth between the two of them that's really, really just funny. And it also leaves you hanging on, like, very funny lines that just get thrown away and they're kind of weird and then you move on. I just cannot recommend it enough. So, yeah, it's Sorrow and Bliss. I just want to give it to everybody I know.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's one of those, and it's just so beautiful. I've got a quote if you want me to.
Oh, my God, I love quotes.
All right, this is sort of.
You know what my favorite quote is, though? It's the greatest quote in cinematic history.
Oh, I don't know if I can read my quote now. God, I always choose such fucking depressing things.
No, that's good. Really, our review is about how depressing you are that I got this week.
It's so fucking depressing. I just realized I'm looking at this quote going, God, this is so depressing.
Nah, let's go.
All right. Everyone likes what they like.
That's right.
Okay, and it's because I'm quite cheerful in my natural disposition. I actually love really depressing, dark things. Whereas you, in your natural demeanor, are quite, you know.
I'm horrible.
Cynical and horrible, except you actually just really love laughing at dumb things.
It's true.
So, you know. I feel like you probably are doing it better. But anyway, here we go. Let's soldier on with my depressing quote. Martha, he said afterwards, lying next to me, everything is broken.
Wow. Is that the quote? Is that the whole quote? Fuck, why'd you pick that?
I was sick when I chose this quote. Yeah. All right. Let me read it again. I can't get through this now. Everything is broken and messed up and completely fine. And that is what life is. It's only the ratios that change, usually on their own. As soon as you think that's it, it's going to be like this forever, they change again. That is what life was and how it continued for 3 years after that. The ratios changing on their own, broken, completely fine, a holiday, a leaking pipe, new sheets, happy birthday, a technician between 9 and 3, a bird flew into the window. I want to die, please.
Jesus.
I can't breathe. I think it's a lunch thing. I love you. I can't do this. Both of us thinking it would be like that forever. Wow. It's a pretty depressing quote.
That is pretty depressing. You ain't kidding.
I know.
Actually,
I've got a different one. Maybe I'll just read that.
Sure.
Can I do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So wait, the main characters, this is Patrick.
Patrick and Martha. All right, so the context of this quote is that Martha and her sister are communicating only in photos of Kate Moss.
Okay.
On their mobiles because
– I do that, not with Kate Moss. You know, when it happens a lot with Mason, like we'll mention somebody and then we find like different gifs of that person. Anyway, sorry, go on.
I love that. All right, so here's her in the car. I screenshotted a picture of Kate Moss in a fur coat ashing a cigarette into a hotel topiary and said, I'm thinking about retraining as a prostitute, to Patrick in the car. In the middle of overtaking a van, Patrick shot me a look. Okay, first, I don't think you're supposed to use that term anymore. Second, you know this house is in a cul-de-sac. They won't be for the foot traffic. I went back to my phone.
That's good.
That's it. So good.
Oh, Claire, gosh. I've got to ask something a quick recommend.
Okay, yes, yes.
I actually watched Upload Season 2. I watched Upload Season 1 in 2020.
All right.
This season is only 2 episodes.
Remind me what Upload is again.
Well, that's what I'm going to tell you. Man is able to choose his own afterlife after his untimely death. So basically, he dies unexpectedly.
Oh, right? Lord. This is like that Black Mirror episode.
Yes.
Woman finds her dead husband in a box.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he follows her around.
Yeah, he's a robot or whatever.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's a good one. It's a good one. It's got Hayley Atwell and Domhnall Gleeson. But yeah, so basically he dies, but it turns out that it's the future. It's the year 2033, and you can upload your consciousness into the cloud. So you can live in a virtual Verizon advertised and where you pay them to live like in a virtual afterlife in a simulation. Do you know what I mean? So you live on your consciousness in an afterlife. But it's a conspiracy, maybe he was murdered because he knew too much or whatever. So it talks about it's about his life in there and also his relationship with people on the outside world who were still alive, because he's basically still alive. Like his consciousness still exists, right? So I think this was like a massive improvement on the first season. The first season I thought was fine. I think I called it something like a not as good The Good Place, because you know about the afterlife.
Yes.
But I thought season two was like it was tighter and it was funnier and it developed more of the relationships. It explored kind of more interesting ideas. The other thing is it stars some people that you might know. Robbie Amell, do you know him? Brother of Stephen Amell, who's in Arrow.
Yes.
You don't know him.
No, I have no idea.
Andy Allo, who's the love interest, Allegra Edwards, and Zainab Johnson.
Oh, yes, that's know. That's right. I love Zainab Johnson.
And you interviewed her for your podcast as
I
well.
I did, and she's really good episode. Excellent.
Yeah.
Thank
so
you.
She's really
she's
great.
So
in
great.
Well. I mean, everyone's good in it, but she's really, like, just really funny and just kind of mean and biting and witty. It's just a surprise me. Like it's just a really
good
show.
I've seen it advertised on her Instagram and I haven't actually watched it.
It really found its feet. And when it was like 7 episodes and finished, I was like, hey, what the fuck? Like 7 episodes? Who does 7 episodes of anything? But yeah, it's good. And I think, yeah, you'd have to watch season 1. But season 1's not a drag. Like it's good.
It's good.
But it gets much better, yeah.
And that's the thing, right? Sometimes these things do really need to just get their feet.
I recently watched Space Force season 2. And Space Force season 1 is by all the creators of The Office and Steve Carell's in it and whatever.
I know, and we thought it was going to be amazing.
And it was fine. But season 2, again, like with The Office and Parks and Rec, massive improvement, way better.
Wow.
So sometimes, and I guess the difference is when you've got kind of a big property like this and you've got big names in it, you know what I mean, and Amazon are doing it or whatever and Steve Carell and whatever, you do get a chance to keep going.
Yeah.
Whereas often shows are just like, no, you're done, that's crap.
Isn't that sad though, actually, just
it
going back
sad.
To, you know, depressing Claire. But because back in the day there are so many shows take a while to find their feet and because they've invested so much money in them and, you know, it's on TV, there's not streaming services, people could do that.
Yeah.
You know, so you wonder how many shows have been axed that actually were really great but just
could
needed
really
another turn. Yeah. Needed a couple of seasons to find their feet.
I mean, I get it also. And often when people are like, it gets good in the second season or you just wait till you get to season 4, I'm like, nah, fuck that. No, thank you.
Yeah, seems like a lot.
That's why I haven't watched Star Wars The Clone Wars, because it takes like 3 seasons to get good. And I'm like, I'm not watching 3 seasons of that. Say that much. You know what I mean?
You know what I mean.
Anyway, Claire.
Correct.
You know what one of my favorite things that we do on the show is? Do you know?
Is it drinking kombucha?
No, Claire.
Is
what
it
is
listening
something...
to me recommend a very sad thing and then you talk about something set in space or an apocalypse?
No, Claire, no. It's...
What is it?
But it's also people reviewing the show. That's one of my favorite things.
Go for it.
So this week we've got one from Tyron101 who says, good Lord, 5 stars. Thank you. You can just do it in app. That's incredible.
Amazing.
What a world.
What a world.
We're talking at the same time.
I know.
Good Lord, that short story about the father has me wrecked. Remember that one you read out?
Yes, I do. I really like to get people in
that.
You
got so many people with that. As a father, as a human, tears streaming down my cheeks. Oh, great pod as always, et cetera, and so forth. That's from Matt from Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, Matt.
Matt. Are you a professional model? Because that's a 10 I see in terms of reviews.
That was.
I give your 5-star review 10 stars.
I would apologize for making you cry, but also I think tears are good.
I agree.
Sometimes
it's good to work through your emotions. And I can think, like, an example of that, if I can think of one specific example of two men working through emotions is.
All right, it's not funny anymore.
No, it is.
You've pushed it.
That is funny.
You pushed it too far.
No, I haven't.
You've taken it too far.
I'm going to push through. It's going to come out the other
way. As we've always discussed, you push your jokes and they become super annoying and then they come around full circle.
But that's what I like. I like it. I like getting to the point when everyone's sick of it. And then when everyone comes around, I'm like, I'm done with it. I'm done with this. If everybody else is enjoying it, I don't enjoy it anymore.
Yeah, I've noticed that because I'll be like, oh, remember this? And you'll be like, no.
No, I don't. Remember it. Yeah.
You've dropped it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have also got something fun for you, which is an email from a friend that you can do yourself if you feel like
it. You're really selling it.
I really am. All right, so you can email the show at suggestiblepod@gmail.com with your recommendations, suggestible, or just to say hello because we love that. We love it. We love it. Just like Jason has. Hi, Claire and James.
Hello.
I would say the Tontis, but James' surname is Sunday or movies or content or equally preposterous.
That's right.
Love you both in the pod. Thanks, Jason. I have a suggestible. Now that Australia is on the road to winter, winter is coming.
Oh, my God, boy, is it.
Oh,
man. We got hit fucking hard this week.
It is a rain in. And that suggestible is for people to get vaccinated and boosted against COVID-19 if they haven't already.
Oh, shit. You made some enemies in the real world, Jason, including us. We don't believe in vaccines.
No. What? Don't even say that in a joke. Get boosted.
Yeah.
Anyway, for context on the rest, my name is Jason. We discovered that, Jason.
Jason, we know.
And I founded the first coronavirus charity in the UK 2 years
ago. Really?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
But my suggestible is less harsh than James's amazing Suicide Squad rant because I suggestible that people get informed and check out all the data themselves if they aren't sure about anything.
I completely agree.
I agree. In any country's data, find each peak in case rates, find the corresponding peak in hospital rates and deaths and see how it has changed over time. In the UK, I recommend coronavirusdata.gov.uk and ons.gov.uk. Mm-hmm. And the latter has done regular testing on the general public to give reliable data over time.
Is it OHNS?
No, I said ONS.
Okay.
7% of the UK currently has coronavirus, and at the January 2021 peak, it was 2% of the UK. But our hospital rates are half of what they were then, which means that vaccine boosters reduce risk of hospitalisation by 80%.
Absolutely, that is true.
There you go. And he gives lots more information.
Well, we don't need all the information.
No, we don't. But it's interesting. He said in America, data varies from state to state, but cdc.gov is a good starting place. In Australia, I recommend health.gov.au and covid19data.com.au. Around 485,000 people currently have coronavirus, but almost every adult has at least one vaccine and 95% of aged care residents have been boosters, which means roughly 1,200 lives will have been saved in the next month alone by vaccines. It's pretty amazing, isn't it?
That is amazing.
I agree. Death rates followed the same pattern as the UK, so this is in Australia, around 0.8% in October, and for the last 10 weeks has averaged 0.08%. Matching influenza because of boosters. Now is the perfect time to get boosted ahead of the winter season.
Oh, my God. What do you got, bloody stock in Big Pharma, mate? Jeez, get on with it.
Anyway, I think that's a great message. And I also like this message because it's not just get boosted, but here's all the information.
Nah,
and here's some really great places for you to go and
scream
read
at people
that are actually solid references and not your own research from Facebook. Completely. So thank you so much, Jason, for your lovely email. He says, your podcast and the other podcast that's more successful but sadly has more Mason. Ha, got him.
It's true.
Has been helpful to me personally and I'm sure to many others. So please keep doing what you're doing. Oh, and I'm a big fan of the spot on Tom Holland impression. So feel free to just assume that's how I sound too.
Oh, yeah. Claire, we got to do something before we go. Okay.
Okay.
You are going to watch the new trailer for Thor, Love and Thunder.
Oh, whoa.
And then, so we're going to pause this here, and then you're going to tell people what you think of it. Would you like me to send you the link?
Okay.
All right. I'll come around and we'll watch it, and then we'll come back and discuss it afterwards, okay?
Okay.
Here we go.
Oh, God. You didn't tell me this was happening. Yeah. Why? Why do I have to watch this?
Because you make me sing songs.
Oh, what? No, but now what if I don't like? So am I supposed to give my impression in real time?
No, you don't have to give it in real time. I mean, you can't.
Can I tell the people what's happening?
No, they've seen it. They've all seen it.
Have they?
Yes.
Not everyone. Here we go. No, I haven't bloody seen it.
You won't breathe it in if you don't. Okay, fine. Do what you want.
Okay, small boy running very fast, getting bigger in the dumb hat. Oh, now he's burying his pick. Oh. I mean, he's pretty hot, isn't he? It's a good song. Who's the woman who grabbed onto his axe thing?
It's a mystery, Claire. If you hadn't read the comics, you would know, but you have not. And it's you. No, it's Jane Foster. It's Natalie Portman.
Oh, okay. I love Natalie Portman.
She becomes Thor.
Oh, that's cool. In the comics. Good on her.
What did you think, Claire?
It's not a Thor. It's not a pick or an axe. It's a hammer, isn't it?
No, it is an axe. His hammer was shattered, but it was reforged clearly because Natalie Portman is wielding it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
He's got a. His axe is called Stormbreaker, and he had it built in Infinity War so he could defeat Thanos.
I see Thanos, and it's a little like a Rocky sort of like montage.
He's getting
fit
because remember he was out of shape.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, now he's trim again.
He's got a little tum tum. Now he's getting all trim again.
Exactly.
I mean, he's a very good looking man.
You know what? A lot of people have been saying that. I just don't see it though. You know. I don't get it.
It's niche.
Very niche. Yeah. Maybe for some people.
Chris Hemsworth. Who knew?
Who knew?
Who knew?
Who knew?
Look, that actually looked really fun.
Yeah.
I actually am really into that. I was expecting not to be into it. Here's my normie take on it.
Here we go.
All right. Initially, I was like, ugh, can't be bothered. I don't like the bashy-crashy battles. I find it boring. Yep. I find, what's the point? Everyone wins in the end. There's just a lot of smashing. Who cares? Who the fucking cares? Nobody does.
Okay.
Well, lots of people do. I don't care. It's boring and I fall asleep. But that looks like I love a redemption story and kind of like a fun, let's not take ourselves too seriously. And actually it reminded me, that's why I have enjoyed the Thor movies because.
Wait, how many of the Thor movies have you actually seen?
I don't know, but a few. Guardians are the same. I don't know. I've enjoyed that vibe. It's the Taika Waititi,
yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed his vibe. And it was mainly the soundtrack.
Yeah,
really
totally. That makes a big difference, yeah.
Yeah, so that looks kind of fun. And the world looked kind of fun and cool and quite intricate. So I'm kind of interested to see it.
Then we will see it.
Shockingly.
We will see it in July together. Maybe you'll get through this one because you tried to watch Spider-Man No Way Home and you were just like, there's too many fucking Spider-Man in this. I hate it.
Too many Spider-Man. Everyone's fighting. Everyone's, I'm the octopus. I was the doctor. Now I've got a thing in my brain. I don't know. Who's that one? I'm old Spider-Man. I'm new Spider-Man. I'm Toby Maguire. I'm here in a weird jacket looking pretty old.
Yeah, that was the first thing you said. You're like, he looks old. I'm like, yeah, he's like 46 years old.
I mean, he looks pretty good.
Oh, he's good for 46,
You know, I don't know.
Andrew Garfield, though.
Just, I mean, I love him, but I would much prefer to watch him in a musical.
Fair
enough. Tick, Tick, Boom.
I think he'd probably prefer that as well.
Yeah.
No, it's not true. He likes Spider-Man.
I mean, I don't know. Did everyone get over Spider-Man?
No, people love that movie. What's going on there? $1 billion.
I just don't understand. Okay, here's my hot take.
You need to have an investment in like all the other Spider-Man movies though as well.
But I've watched most of them.
No, but you don't care. You don't care about Tobey Maguire.
I liked the first version of the Tom Holland Spider-Man. I liked that movie. Yeah, yeah. It was really good. And I like Zendaya.
You didn't watch the one where he went to Europe on a little European adventure?
There's too many. There's too many, or I've said it. There's too many Marvel movies. There's too many.
There's only like 22 or something currently.
There's too many.
Yeah.
Plus all the TV shows. I have been talking about Marvel movies on the periphery of my life for like 20 years now. And every bloody couple of months, you're like, look at this trailer. Oh, it's come out. Oh, I'm so excited. It's another man in a suit. Yeah. He's going to have a little battle. And then there's some references to comics that I don't understand. And look at his special powers. And then everything's fine in the end.
Can I recommend to you at the very
least? Oh, he's got some friends. They've all come together.
They've all come together.
Oh, I'm so sad.
I think it's interesting.
Everything's broken and the world's about to be taken over by a blue man. But it's actually not. That's like every movie.
There's a lot of blue men trying to take over the world.
My mother. My son's dead. Wait. My mother's dead. My father's dead.
I see what you're saying.
But there's a parallel universe and now a version of me has come out of the sky that looks like me but more like Tobey Maguire. And I'm you're Spider-Man. Everyone's Spider-Man. Where's Aunt May? Oh, my uncle's dead. I don't know. I hate it. I'm over it. There's too many. There's just too fucking many of these movies. I can't handle it anymore. My brain is actually fried.
One movie I think you would actually enjoy, aside from the quote I've been doing, why don't you watch the new Morbius movie? Because Morbius.
If you have to say Morbius one more time.
I'm like a regular vampire.
He's a vampire doctor via science
as opposed to magic. And if that's a very compelling idea. Of a man who turns himself into a vampire through using bat blood and electricity or whatever happens. Yeah, that's a brutal movie to watch.
God. But I don't understand. There's so many layers that I don't understand.
I think it's evolving, though. I think it is in a period of, like, they're trying different things and kind of seeing and, you know, and I think it needs to evolve because of what you're talking about, that, like.
What do you mean? The same movies with the same characters?
No, I think it is evolving. And I think, I don't know what it's going to look like, but it needs to evolve also because it will lose people if it's just like another one of these fucking things. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, they've evolved the whole time.
Yeah, some
but
more than
you can't evolve away from the fact that they're all the same fucking characters.
No, I think that's unfair. And I also think that, like.
You just told me there was, like, how many Spider-Man movies?
In total? I don't know, 110. But
yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, I think that the appeal of that movie is that you got them all together. But I think, like, outside of that, and it's, like, an okay movie. But, like, the idea of seeing those three together is,
you,
like.
You lost your time, man.
It was really
you
fun
You got
to
very
see.
Sweaty.
It was fun to. No, I did not. You weren't even there. You weren't even there.
I can imagine. It was like when you watched the first version of that Superman movie and your hands were all sweaty.
The Superman Returns.
Yeah, that everyone hates but you loved at the time.
I'd still like that movie even though it was directed by an alleged sex criminal.
Oh, that's fun.
Anyways, what fun we've had this week.
I'm sorry I made fun of your movies.
I don't give a shit. I didn't make them.
Let me sit alone and listen to Martha Marlowe and read my book about depressing women.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't make these movies. They're not for everybody. It's fine.
But I've enjoyed it. The thing for me, right, is as just like a regular punter.
Yeah.
I've really enjoyed them over the years. Yeah. And I've really seen what, particularly the Marvel ones, because we're paid by Marvel. I've really enjoyed them. I got really invested in them. I really liked them. I was annoyed that they didn't give more of the women their own movies, but they've kind of rectified some of that.
Did you watch Black Widow?
Yes, I did. I really enjoyed it. I liked it a lot.
I liked it too.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I really liked Captain Marvel and Wonder Woman. I know it's not Marvel, but I really enjoyed Wonder Woman as well. It's just that at a certain point, how many movies is too many movies?
No amount of movies is too many movies.
Anyway, maybe I'll come round to it again like your jokes. Actually, I'll tell you what, if anyone can get me over the line, it's a Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, well, that's true. I was going to say me, but like.
But yes, also you.
But yeah, no, I think you might like this new one. Anyways, let's go. This is too long. It's too long.
I'm so sorry. Thank you as always for editing this, Collings. We have been Suggestible Podcast. We will see you.
All the links are below.
On the flip side.
We will see you on the flip side. And goodbye.
Goodbye.
Why did you say that name?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.